Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there was so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, we saw Jesus appear in the upper room, a locked upper room, in the midst of the disciples. Twice. The first time, Thomas was not there. Poor Thomas, the doubter. That's what he's known for now. And when the disciples told him that they appeared, Thomas did not believe. But the second time the disciples gathered in the upper room, Thomas was with them. And Jesus meets Thomas right where he was. You remember Thomas, the doubter? Jesus said, "Here, look at my hands. Touch my side. No. Believe that it's me." Jesus meeting Thomas in his doubt. In this scripture, we see Jesus meeting yet another one of his disciples, Peter. Now, since Peter witnessed Jesus' arrest and watched Jesus be carted off, following from a distance in the night, hidden in the shadows, denying Jesus along the way, I get the feeling that Peter was probably beating himself up Because on the night in which Jesus had his last meal with the disciples, Jesus actually called Peter out. He said, before the night is over, you will deny me. And Peter was like, no, I would never deny you. I will go to the cross with you. I will die with you. And Jesus says, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Peter's like, whatever. And Peter did it. And when the cock crowed, Peter remembered Jesus' words to him. You know that had been haunting him, right? It would have haunted any of us. Anytime we let someone down like that, it was a big deal. Peter was a proud man, rambunctious, followed his gut, emotionally driven, brave and courageous. And he loved Jesus. He followed him for 3 years. That night, when the cock crowed, it probably broke his heart. You know, when our hearts are broken, a lot of times we don't talk about it. We keep it in the quiet. He probably didn't go to his close friends, his disciples, and say, hey, you know what? I'm feeling really awful about this. I think I need to talk to someone. I doubt that happened. Because most of us, we don't do that. He was probably carrying this burden by himself, which for many of us, that probably feels pretty familiar. But the beauty about Jesus, every single time he meets someone, he meets them exactly where they are, and he doesn't leave them broken. Jesus couldn't leave Peter's broken heart like it was. It's interesting, the first time that they met in the upper room after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus doesn't mention it. The second time he appears in the upper room, he addresses Thomas. And every single time he's met them up to this point, he sends them out. You can't stay here. You can't stay in this locked room. You've got to go out. You've got to go out back into the world. And as we talked about last week, the world had not changed. But the thing is, Jesus changes what's going on inside of us. And for Peter right now, it's a broken heart. Shame and guilt for what he'd done. It's interesting, Jesus sends them out, and what does Peter want to do? He wants to go back to his old life. I'm going fishing. You know, sometimes we're all like that when we're unsure of our future. When we, what we want to do, we want to stay in a locked room. We don't want anybody to know how hurt we are, how broken we are. Let's just go back to the old way. Jesus is calling us to a new way. But Peter, I think I'd just go fishing. That's what I did. That's what I know. Jesus sent me out. Okay, I can't stay in this room. I'll just go back to the familiar. You know, the Israelites were like that. God saved them out of slavery. They were making these bricks. And little by little, the Egyptians were taking away the ingredients that were needed for the bricks. Their life was hard. People were dying because it was such a hard life. God saved them from that. They're in the middle of the wilderness. God is feeding, sent down food from heaven, manna to eat. But their future is unsure. They're scared. They begin to grumble. Oh, if we could just go back to what we know. If we could just go back to Egypt where there was potted meat. If we could just go back. Sometimes in our brokenness, we just want to go backwards. We don't want to move forward. If we can't stay stuck, which most of us do not, we are not a static people. Our lives and our emotions are always dynamic. So if we're falling into a depression, we're moving towards that. You don't just stay stuck in it. You either get more and more or you get less and less. In our brokenness, if we get stuck in that, that negativity and that bitterness, guess what? It just grows within us. And we go backwards instead of forwards. Jesus doesn't want this to happen to Peter. Peter was already a rambunctious, highly volatile human being to begin with. Can you imagine what Peter would be like if he lived with that for the rest of his life? Beating himself up for the rest of his life? Have you ever met someone who's beat themselves up for most of their life? Are they very fun to be around? No. Their pain is on every inch of their face and every word that comes out of their mouth. Peter has the greatest potential to become extremely embittered. I completely understand that. I remember being young and having, I loved my dad. I'll just say, and I still love my dad, but our relationship was not the healthiest. When he moved to Ohio, I would call because I wanted his attention, and he would never call me back. And I just felt angry about it. I went to every seminar I could on forgiveness. To forgive him for not calling me back, forgiving him for not being a father when I needed him. But it wasn't in any of those seminars that probably really helped me out. It was Jesus meeting me where I was in the form of a family member. My Aunt Faye loving me, pouring so much love into me, telling me it's going to be okay. Calling my dad behind my back saying, you know what, you need to call your daughter. She was Christ for me, meeting me where I was. Not leaving me in my brokenness, but completely changing me. Because she was Christ for me, I'm a completely different person. And this is the opportunity Peter gets in the midst of this fish breakfast. In the midst of the breaking of the bread, in the midst of sharing fresh fish with one another, Jesus meets Peter right in his brokenness. Those three times he had denied Jesus. It's as if Jesus is reaching into Peter's soul. You see, it's not just that Peter's going to be a bitter old man. It's that it's stopping him from interacting with the world, this brokenness. It's stopping him in his tracks. He cannot do good ministry. He can't go out there and follow Jesus if he's stuck in his own bitterness, if he's going backwards. Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, yeah, Jesus, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Go out into the world. Do what I trained you to do. Peter, do you love me? Jesus, you know that I love you. And he's probably thinking to himself, I should have never denied you. Can you imagine the thoughts going in Peter's head? I know you're asking me because I know you know. I know you know what I did. Peter wrestling in his own heart. Jesus, you know I love you. And that apology, I'm reading between the lines, I'm so sorry. You told me that I was going to do it. I didn't believe you, and I did it. Every time I hear the cock crow, I know I did it. Yes, Jesus, you know I love you. Jesus looks in Peter's eyes one more time. Peter, do you love me? Peter at this time is getting a little frustrated. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I love you. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. You've got to go out into the world. You can't fish fish. You can't fish for fish the rest of your life. That's not what I trained you to do. That's not why you spent 3 years with me. You spent 3 years with me to go out into the world, to be sent out into the world. Jesus meets every single one of us in our brokenness, in our hurt, in our disappointment, in our guilt, in our shame, in our anger, in our bitterness, in our blame. We blame ourselves, we blame other people, we even blame God. You know, that's just age-old practice since the dawn of the creation of human beings. When Adam looked up at the sky and said, "It's this woman you gave me." We have always, always, always played the blame game. Then even in the midst of that, Jesus meets each one of us where we are. So that we can go out into the world bringing Christ with us. And there's something beautiful about the brokenness. Have you ever thought about the order in which Jesus took the bread? He broke it, and then he blessed it. Within our brokenness, when we meet Christ, there's this huge blessing and this healing and this recovery and this strength that comes out of it, to where we're able to do some amazing things. Some of the most amazing people in the ministries that they do have come out of their brokenness. So this week, your homework is to think about your own life, where your hurts were, where they were, where they are. Has Christ met you in those? Have you found strength in them? Are you still hurting? Is that brokenness still a wide, gushing wound? If it is, begin praying that Jesus will meet you in that. That healing will begin in that. That you will move past it. That Christ would meet you at some special place where there is the breaking of the bread and there is healing. Whether it is in your prayer time or whether it was somebody else coming into your life, walking with you in your healing. Or maybe it's a past healing where you can praise God, "Thank you, Jesus, for meeting me there. You know what? I could use this. I completely understand how a person could hurt when they lose a spouse, when they lose a child, when they lose a job, when they lose a marriage. I know what it means to be deceived. I know what it means to be stabbed in the back. I completely understand that. And I can use that to help someone else. And I can help someone heal like I've been healed." Where is Jesus sending you out? Paul says it is in our weakness that we find God's strength. And that's true for all of the disciples, especially Peter, especially on this morning. And it's true for every single one of us that it is in our weakness, it is in our brokenness that Christ rises up in the spirit of resurrection, bringing new life, new strength, new courage, new ways of living for every single one of us. Christ calls each one of us, the body of Christ, the church, to be sent out into the world, to bring the light of Christ, the presence of God, the kingdom, out into the world. We don't just come to church. We don't just come cloistered in this room. The Spirit of God meets us here in a very powerful way, and we are sent out into the world in new strength. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.